Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Not all spinal injuries require surgery. I'm going to say that one more time to our listeners because you may think and stop for a moment. Not all spinal injuries require surgery. And we're going to talk about that with a board of neurologists, Dr. Anin Uriarte, who's with us. How are you, my friend?
Very good. Thank you, Adam. I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. I've been waiting to chat with you about this too, because, you know, being a dachshund dad, this is something that I see far too often in practice as well. So to our listeners, Dr. Anin Uriarte is a diplomat holder of the European College of Veterinary Neurology. Anne started her studies in Spain, but graduated as a veterinarian in Paris, where she did her general internship and neurology residency. After obtaining her ECVN diploma, she worked for 8 years in a private hospital on the outskirts of London before she moved to Massachusetts in 2017, where she was an assistant professor in neurology and neurosurgery at Tufts University. During her stay in the United States, Anna created the free application called My Dog's Epilepsy, accessible to all owners and veterinarians. She has recently returned to London, where she is the head of the neurology service at Southfield's Veterinary Specialist. She has published numerous articles in international journals, as well as neurosurgery chapters and reference books. She maintains a great teaching activity in the form of webinars, congresses, and social media. Anna Neuro posts daily neurology cases on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. So, and that's how we got connected too, because your posts on Instagram really caught my attention. So thank you for educating us. They're really great.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for keeping us alive. Neurologist has been a dachshund owner, dachshund father and parent. You are supporting part of the neurologies in the world.
I know we are. You're welcome. So let me ask you then. So we talked about, you know, all spinal surgeries need urgent surgery. Sometimes you feel like that. So do all spinal cases need urgent surgery, and does neurological status matter?
Yeah, so the overall answer is no. Not everything needs surgery, and the neurological status will matter, because indeed a dog that is severely affected, for example, is not able to walk on its own, it will require neurology advice. But what is also extremely important that we consider how fast these signs have appeared. So for example, you have a 10-year-old dog that has been slowing down for 6 months, it's just limping a little bit, and then in 2-3 days is unable to walk. You may not need to rush that Friday night to see your neurologist, because it's likely to be something slow progressive. On the other hand, you have your 2-year-old super bouncy, nice and healthy French bulldog or dachshund that it was running 10 miles with you and that night is unable to get up. That is definitely an emergency. So it will be the combination of how severe it is. If it's not able to walk, it requires further assistance, and how fast it happened.
And talk to me about neurologic status. So to our listeners that are veterinarians, we understand superficial, deep pain, conscious proprioception, so forth. So talk to me a little bit about that neurologic status.
To be fair, it's a very simple, much more simple than that. If the dog, because we're talking about dogs today, cats are from Mars. We know that that's a different, a different subject. So if your dog is able to walk and aid, so without support, is able to give some steps, then you're fine. That's not super urgent. If your dog is not able to walk, that's when we need to worry. For the superficial pain, the pain, that's, it keeps changing all the time. How severe or how likely is that you're going to recover? I think that the message I would like to send is, if the dog is walking, we are good. We have time. If the dog is not walking, we probably need to go and ask someone to find out what's going on.
And how important is motor function in terms of, well, I would say more urinary bladder expression. How important is that if they can urinate on their own?
Yes. Again, that can be also a little bit of a difficult one. because if the dog is actually able to move a little bit the legs, they should be able to urinate, neurologically speaking. But things are not that simple. When you have a big dog that is maybe a little bit overweight, you may have a bladder a little bit more tired and you may need to help better. So I would not use the urine continence to the gravity or the severity of the spine disease. It's more indeed difficult for a parent to manage at home. We need to know how to express a bladder when the dog is not able to go and do it on its own in the garden. But I wouldn't take that as a point of neurological severity, the incontinence.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. And you mentioned, so let's talk about breed. So you talk about French Bulldog, we're talking about Dachshund. So does breed matter when it comes down to, you know, requiring surgery?
Yes, and you're not going to like this, but indeed it does matter. The only way to avoid a Dachshund having a disc is not to own a Dachshund, which I know is not a, it's not possible. It's not an option. It's not an option, but we do recognize, depends on what type of the country, which side of the country or which country you live, you will notice certain breeds more affected. At the moment, French Bulldogs and Dachshunds still are the chondrodystrophic dogs more affected. And in my experience, are the two breeds that more typically will need surgery because they have this very severe disc extrusion and explosion. But my personal experience is that the Dachshunds, they tend to do much better than the French Bulldogs. So things have changed. And things are changing because I think that the shape of the dog and the breed and what we are aspiring as breeders is changing a little bit too. So I will say it does matter, in my opinion. French and Dachshunds, I will always try to recommend an MRI because I think it's very likely that it's going to finish in surgery. Indeed.
Yeah. I know. And then within the Dachshunds, there's just so many different sizes. There's the mini, the standards, you know. Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. And then so in addition to breed, what about age? Does age matter?
Yes, age will matter too a lot. A couple of points. First of all, if you have an older dog, again, that has been progressing for a while, he's been also losing weight, the coat doesn't look great, you're probably going to get a little bit more worried that maybe a cancer, an underlying severe pathology, not just a simple disc. But also on the other hand, if you do have a very young patient, a very young dog, that it just have a first episode at 1 year old and is still able to walk, I'm not sure that I want to engage on spending loads of dollars in doing an MRI, because if at 1 year old has already had a first episode, I'm pretty sure that he's going to have quite a few during his life or her life. Therefore, I think that as veterinarians, we need to also be aware of how much money this parent is going to be spending. And do we really need to do an MRI on a first offender, a dog that is just a little bit uncomfortable when it's only 1 year old? Shouldn't we try to save a little bit and try to see if with medical treatment is going to be okay? Because there's going to be quite a lot of those. So I do have more tendency to try to see if I can manage with medical treatment a younger dog.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, as general practitioners, we're really thrown in between a rock and a hard place where maybe we want to recommend the neurologist, but they just don't have the finances to go about doing so. Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about when medical treatment should be started or implemented.
Yes, so we go back to that first question. Is the dog walking or is not walking? One thing that I would like to remind, especially if we have students listening, because it did happen a lot to me, that sometimes a student will tell you, oh, the dog was walking, because they refer of them using the front limbs. When we use the dog non-ambulatory, not being able to walk, it means that the limbs that are affected are not working. So for example, if we have a dog that is down in the back, is paraparetic, and is able to walk with the front limbs but dragging the back legs, we will say that that dog is non-ambulatory, although it can move around the room, but the affected legs are not walking properly. So when we have a dog that is able to take steps with the forelimbs unassisted, without a sling, without a supported the dog, then we should try a medical treatment, particularly as a first offender. If it's the first time this happened and we don't have any pain relief or anti-inflammatory drugs installed yet. If it's a dog that is walking, but we've been already trying with meloxicam or with any NSAIDs and pain relief and gabapentin, and still we don't have an improvement or it's not back to normal, then we will need to go further. So I will say the same. Walking, we can try first offender. We should try non-walking. That warrants further investigation.
Okay. Yeah. And let me ask you, you just mentioned like non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. I think a lot of the listeners and general practitioners, myself, one of them, we kind of go back and forth when it comes to these back dogs. Do we do corticosteroids or do we do non-steroidal anti-inflammatories? Can you kind of help us a little bit navigate on that choice selection?
Yes, and it's a very, very good question. And sometimes the similarity that I use is steroids will work for sure. If you get a bazooka to kill flies, they're going to die for sure. But you may need to disrupt a little bit your room while you're using the bazooka to kill the fly. So there's absolutely no doubt that a few days of steroids are going to help you and they're going to be your friends. However, the non-steroidal, they tend to have less side effects and they're also going to do the job. Sometimes also what I say is that the steroids sometimes work so well that they may hide things that we should see. Because if I give a dog 3 days of non-steroidal, 1 week of gabapentin, and the dog is happy, then I'm happy. I know I'm not going to need to do surgery on this dog. It's fine. Continue with the rest. We are done. If the dog has received steroids, it's going to do a very good job. But then I may delay to see the truth of the compression. And I may delay the surgery 1 or 2 months when then I'm going to struggle removing that disc that has been there for 2 months. So that are my 2 points defending a little bit the NSAIDs versus the steroids. But the steroids, of course, they will work. I will recommend a very low dose and a very short period of, so maybe 2-3 days, 0.5 milligram per kilogram. I do think the NSAIDs can still do a very, very good job.
Yeah, that's good to hear and helpful too. So thank you for that. So non-steroidal anti-inflammatories or corticosteroids, crate rest. Are there other modalities that you would recommend when it doesn't require surgery? So in other words, like acupuncture, hydrotherapy, those kinds of modalities?
Yeah, 100%. I tend to do the first week of kind of strict rest with you can use also gabapentin, and non-steroidals, potentially if the animal is very painful, even paracetamol. And then after that, for the chronic cases, especially if it's the neck and owners cannot afford to go further with surgery, acupuncture works really well and we've used it a lot. And physiotherapy, once we are out of the rest period, so probably 2 weeks after the rest, I will definitely recommend this. Really, really good. Something that I'm starting to dig a little bit more into is how do you keep these dogs entertained while they are cage rested, which can be very tough. Sometimes we can use trazodone, but then it's using anxiolytics. And there is more and more toys that dogs can use in their crate that can stimulate a little bit, usually related to food, and we can play with them, more mentally stimulate them. That's something that I want to like dig a little bit more into it because I find it very interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Very interesting. Yeah, because they get bored, especially if they've been crated for quite some time. I do want to share with you too, and to our listeners, there is a book that I wrote. It's called Honey, Have You Squeezed the Dachshund? And it's available on Amazon. And the reason why I did it is because as a dachshund dad and as a veterinarian, you know, you and I know that this conversation goes beyond a 20-30 minute appointment, you know, and there's lots of phone calls, lots of stress care. And so you know, and if there are dogs that do become permanently paralyzed because for whatever reason, either they couldn't afford the surgery, it was late, whatever, they can still have a good life too. It's just a matter of caring for them. You know, their differences are can be celebrated is what I say. So, and I really wanted to stress that because, and it's called squeeze a dachshund because as you know, if they're down, you have to, you know, manually
Express the bladder.
Yeah. So I had a dachshund for 12 years. I did it for, with him. And, you know, he went on, he was down at the age of two. His name was Cosmo and he lived until he was 14. He developed a nasal adenocarcinoma, but another 12 wonderful years he had. So I always want to stress that to the listeners too, because dogs with disabilities are incredible. He really has taught me to become a better veterinarian.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And it's, yeah, it's lovely to hear and it's really encouraging. And I completely agree with you. There is a conversation that needs to be definitely more than 30 minutes. And there is a lot of understanding of what is the situation of the family that is going to look after this dog, how we can support them. They're going to be a team. There's a team behind to help because it's a lot of work for one person. It's a lot of commitment, a lot of stress, and it's a very difficult situation that some people, they know that they won't be able to deal, and other people, they are super happy. And as you said, dogs with wheels also, I mean, it's amazing when you see one of these dogs running in their wheels. It's just crazy.
Right.
They just go so fast.
It is crazy. It is. They're so fast. They do the zoomies. But you're right. It is. It's a team approach. And I think it's nice to be very transparent with these pet owners to say, like, you know, you're probably going to be going back to work. You can't leave him down or leave her down and out for like 6 to 8 hours. Is there somebody else that's going to have to come in? Caretakers, veterinary technicians have been so helpful too with doing like visits and helping them out. But you're right. It is a team approach to getting these guys on the road to recovery or just maintaining them to make sure that they're nice and they stay healthy if they're paretic. So, well, this has been so great, Dr. Uriarte. And
thank you.
I want our listeners to know all of your social media platforms because I'm obsessed with all of your posts.
Thank you. Yeah, so thank you for that. And please, guys, if you like neurology, follow me on ane.neuro. I think that where I'm more active is on Instagram, but on YouTube, I also post a lot of videos of surgery, neurosurgery. And Facebook, of course, is a little bit the same. But yeah, come and join me and learn a little bit more and have fun with all the little tests that I usually put on my stories. I love to hear about you.
Yes. Again, one more time, her Instagram is ane.neuro. So ane.neuro, N-E-U-R-O. And you can give her a follow. And I have failed a couple of your questions on your story, but that's okay. I'm learning.
That's good. No, thank you. I mean, you know that we are obsessed about your videos of your taxi, like choosing the toys. It's just like, we just like every time, like, okay, which one is going to be, which one? It's I love it. And the ramp is like, I mean, definitely your house is like the heaven house for a dachshund.
Yeah.
It's very nice to see. Oh,
thank you so much. Really. It's their house. I just happen to live in it and be their servant. So.
actually, you're absolutely right.
It really is. Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Uriarte. Thank you so much for your time, expertise, and for teaching us through social media. We absolutely love it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. As always, please stay safe out there. Thank you for all your hard work and continue to stay awesome. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.